Thus he had a clear and non-accusing conscience. He wasn't perfect, but he was victorious over the sin in his life. No Christian can give testimony, honest testimony, to the fact that when he became a Christian, sin was erased. It's not so. The tendency to sin is still in our lives. Even though we're saved, we still sin. And worse, we still derive pleasure from our sin. We still struggle with sinful habits, not just sinful isolated acts. And sometimes we fall into shameful, scandalous sins. Our thoughts and our words are not always what they ought to be. Our time is often wasted on frivolous and worldly pursuits. Our minds and our affections are often set on things that will pass away. Our hearts often grow cold to things holy and evangelistic. And we might ask the question, why is this so? If we go back to Romans chapter 6, we might conclude that everything should be different. Verse 14 of Romans 6 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." In verse 17, it says, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." If indeed sin does not have dominion over us, if indeed we are no longer the slaves of sin, why can't we live a pure life and enjoy a clear conscience? Why does this battle go on? Well, the answer is there is yet remaining sin within us. We have been saved from the penalty of sin, and that Christ took the penalty in himself in dying on the cross. We have been saved from the dominating power of sin, in that sin's powerful mastery over us is broken and we do not have to obey it. And we have even been saved to some degree in the present from the presence of sin, for it no longer is with us at all times in all ways, and someday we will be saved from its presence altogether. But though we have been saved and redeemed and forgiven, there is still remaining